بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم يسر لنا أمرنا واشرح لنا صدرنا واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا يا أرحم الراحمين يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون Are you who have believed? Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He should be feared. And do not die except on the state of piety. Brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He revealed this deen to Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He sent it as the last deen. The last religion that is accepted in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا. What does the ayah say? Huh? No one memorize it? فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ. Whomsoever seeks other than Islam as a religion, it's not going to be accepted from it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave humanity so many chances, sent him so many prophets and messengers, sent him Adam, and he alayhi salatu wasalam, his descendant came, and then from the time of Nuh the shirk has started and polytheism has started and people worship the idols and changed and twisted the religion. يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِمَ عَمْ مَوَاضِعِهِ. They started, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described Bani Israel, they changed the wording from its appropriate places. It started from Nuh, the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they started to play with it. And people started to worship the idols. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent after Nuh many prophets and messengers. You can count so many. Came to them Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Came to them Ismail. Came to them Musa. Came to them Isa. Every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a prophet or a messenger to this humanity, فَرِيقًا كَذَّبْتُمْ وَفَرِيقًا تَقْتُلُونَ. A group you belie and a group that you kill. Bani Israel, كَانُوا يَقْتُلُونَ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. They used to kill the prophets. Every time prophets come to them, they don't like it, they're killing. Or يَلُونَ أَلْسِنَتَهُمْ بِالْكِتَابِ لِتَحْسَبُوهُ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. They twist their tongues with their book so you can think it is from the book. وَمَا هُوَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ. And it is not from the book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gave humanity, all the humans, all the descendants of Adam, the jinn also, one more chance, last chance. He sent them Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, this is your last chance. This is no more chances after that. And he sent with him the Quran. And he sent with the Quran مِثْلَهُ مَعَهُ the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said وَأَنَا خَاتَمُ النَّبِيِّينَ مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَآشْ خاتم النبي. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not a father of any of you. Indeed, he was the messenger of Allah and the seal of all the prophets. The door is closed, the keys are thrown away, and it's finished. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam came with the complete package, the complete deen, which is Islam, and came for every human being and every jinn. Before, everyone was sent to his own people only. Except Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to whom? To every human being, every mankind on the face of the planet. لِلنَّاسِ كَافَّةِ. No exception. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a great message, He gave him the full package, He gave him the Quran. He gave him the sunnah and he completed your deen for you. And he perfected the deen for you. And the blessing is completed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completing his deen. One of the companions, Jabir ibn Abdullah, said in the hadith, radiyallahu anhu, our Prophet has taught us everything, even how we go to the toilet. Everything. ما فرطنا في الكتاب من شيء. This book is complete. So the topic today is the innovation. People invent. Ikhwani, what destroyed Judaism and Christianity is people with their whims and desires playing with their deen, changing the deen until it has reached to ridiculous levels. Why their deen was changed? For two main reasons. The first reason, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entrusted them to preserve the deen. Sah. The second reason, they're corrupted scholars. Shuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions in the Quran so many ayat those corrupted scholars. One, He calls them كَالْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارَ, like a donkey carrying books. Some he says كَالْكَلْب, like a dog. He lolls his tongue for the dunya. He's always running for the dunya. Once he described them as يَأْكُلُونَ السُّحْت, they eat the riba and they eat the haram and they eat the wealth of the people by falsehood. And once they twist their tongue with their book. And once they يحلون الحرام ويحرمون الحلال, hadith Adi ibn Hatim, Adi ibn Hatim, جزاكم الله خير. Hadith Adi ibn Hatim, when he said, "Ya Rasulullah, we don't worship them, we don't, you know," and he said to him, "What?" They said they turned the halal to haram and haram to halal. So this is your worship to them. So they started the Jews to play with their deen, play with their deen, until it had reached a level they actually corrupted the Bible itself, the Old Testament, until you read some parts in it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a punch up with Jacob and he punched him and I don't know what, and one of the prophet got drunk and he slept with his daughters, and another prophet, Allah al-Musta'an, piled up blasphemies in their book. Come to the Christianity, the same thing. They have invented the Trinity and they said Allah is a three, and sometimes Jesus is God and sometimes is not, and they went along with the innovation. Many of the ibadat they had, which is prescribed in their early book, and Prophet ﷺ told us about their books, and some of the worships don't exist today. The prayers, yani when the Prophet ﷺ made wudu and said, "This is the wudu, this is my wudu, and all the prophets before me." What is that wudu? Sah? Prostration to Allah was in every religion before Muhammad ﷺ. What is it today in their prayer? True or not? All of this was changed. The whole religion was changed. The ibadat was changed. They invented the Christmas. They invented the New Year's. They invented all of these innovations into their deen. Why? Because the scholars did not put framework and guidelines derived from their books and the sayings of their prophets to protect the deen. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not protect His deen through putting it in a plastic bag. He does not wrap it in glad paper. Sah. How does Allah protect the deen? By sending ulama, by sending men to protect the deen for the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Rum, وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, and do not become from amongst
the polytheist. الذين فرقوا دينهم وكانوا شيعا كل حزب بما لديهم فرحون.
The ones who separated their deen, the one who dissected their deen, the one who caused splits in their deen, and they become different groups, each group is happy with what he has. Isn't it the case today? Isn't it the case today? Yes or no? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith, he mentioned, he said alayhi salatu wa salam, that لتتبعن سنن من كان قبلكم حذو القذة بالقذة. You would follow the way of the people before you. حذو القذة. The قذة is the feather on the arrow. You know how they all cut equal? You become like them, like another feather. You cut, يعني you're exactly like them. Exactly as the feather follows the other feather, you're going to become the same. They said, Ya Rasulullah, are they the Jews and the Christians? Yani those people, we're going to follow their footsteps. He said, Faman, who else? نسأل الله العفو والعافية. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us safe and protect us. So ya akhi, the deen, if it is not preserved from all the innovations, no matter how small it is, it will lead to the destruction of the deen. It will lead to the ruining the deen. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not separate in your deen. Tayyib, why would they groups? Why would they are groups? Let's, if we all stick to the Quran and the Sunnah strictly. Yani I want to ask this question. The Mawlid is around the corner. Let's be honest. Which is safer, to do Mawlid or not to do Mawlid? Not to do. Why would say not to do the other one? He says no, to do better. Because we increase the love. We say, Tayyib, very simple. The companions radiallahu anhum, are they the utmost in love to Rasulullah? Yes. Did they do it? No. So you better, yani, inta aska? What are you better? Huh? Ya Habibi, do you pray tahajjud? You see, most of them are Mawlid. They got a gut bigger than mine and eat halwa and sleep. What have you done for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This is another something important. That what happens, you have created something that the people fighting about. Do we argue that we need to pray 5 times a day? Do we argue that Salat al-Dhuhr is 4 rak'at? Do we argue about the sunnah of siwak? Even we might argue, akhi, I don't want to use siwak, I want to use toothbrush. The sunnah of cleaning your teeth. Do you argue about it? No. But we argue which method. And that's khilaf mu'tabar. It is recognized khilaf, no problem. You don't see us praying, we establishing different groups because one used toothbrush and one used the siwak. Sah? This, ya akhi, is the core of the problem. Because if you don't invent, there is no fighting. When you invent, there is fighting. Sah? There is disagreements. There is people who, this is, no, where did you get this? And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, لا تجمع أمتي على ضلالة. My nation would not agree upon misguidance. So it's only when you bring up a misguidance, bring up something in you, people will start to disagree. Otherwise, there is no reason for firqa, except the hawa, the whims and desires. Somebody want to be a boss, he causes a problem. But this can be tackled, can be fixed. He dies, khalas, somebody else will come, that fitna gone. Sah? But when you invent something, and generation takes it, after generation, it becomes a sunnah. You come to change it, people think you are changing the sunnah. Sah? This is something, ya akhi, very important. The deen can get corrupted, and these different groups in the ummah, if wasn't of innovations, there wouldn't be no problem. Give you an example. Calling upon the Hussein. Ya Hussein, help me. Ya Hussein this, Ya Hussein that. Tayyib. Would a Muslim, Sunni, Shi'i, Habashi, whatever he is, whatever sect he belonged to, disagree on saying, Ya Allah, help me, Ya Allah, support me? Do we disagree? Everyone agree. Sah? Tayyib, when we, let's look at it from, when you come up and said, Ya Hussein, you gotta get a group of people, the Sunnis, they say, no, A'udhu Billah, that's calling upon someone, that's shirk. The other one say, no, it's not shirk. And here we go, we gotta fight. Sah or no? So when you invent something, you're causing a problem. When you don't invent and you leave it to the simplicity, it's no problem. Whatever is يعني خلاف مذهبي خلاف between أحناف and الشافعية and حنابلة and مالكية خلاص الحمد لله. That is not a major خلاف. We don't separate, we don't group up, we don't cause a bigger problem. صح. We all pray. You get a group of people, they go to the haram. I'm not going to pray behind the imam. He's a Wahhabi, kafir, aduullah. He's praying. He takes the people all the way from Sydney to Makkah, paying $10,000, and he doesn't pray behind in the haram. He misses out on $100,000. It's all the bid'ah, the innovations that causes a problem in the ummah. True or not? Does anyone disagree about, let's take a political, does anyone disagree about establishing Khilafah? You have to say now, well, I need to think about it. If you need to think about it, re-educate yourself, Habibi. Does we disagree on that? Khalas, it's become a norm. Does anyone disagree about fasting in Ramadan? See or not? You see, so the issues, the main issues of the ummah, no one disagree. But when you start getting new things, mawalid, calling upon other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sah, believing in the mashayikh in an extreme way, my shaykh fly from here all the way to Mecca, he'll be sitting here and praying, sah. Al-aql, the intellect, the sound mind rejects innovation. Reject innovation. I ask you a question. Take an example. Wearing pendants. To show you how Aql al-Mubtadi' goes down to a very low level. And I ask you a question. Who is your protector? Sah? Tayyib, when you wear that blue pendant, charm, believing that this is some form of protection in it, you caused an innovation. You're going to get someone who's going to rebuke you and stand on the minbar, Ya aduwallah, Ya enemy of Allah, this is shirk, this is that. Sah? Now we fighting. But if we both say the protector is Allah and everything else is rejected, then we don't have a problem in the ummah. You see how all these different innovations can create a problem and more problems and more problems. That's why our great predecessors, what did they say? They said, Al-ishtihadu fi sunnah. Yani, to work hard in to implement the sunnah. To implement the sunnah better than doing ishtihad in bid'ah. You see, yani, for example, the person, Abdullah. If you go learning all the different sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, Ya Abdullah, and you implement them, and you try hard to implement all the sunnah, isn't it better for you than falling into innovation and doing something that Prophet ﷺ never did? Which is you can guarantee to yourself that Allah 100% will accept it, and it is full of reward. Something that the Prophet ﷺ did, or something that the Prophet ﷺ never did? Never did, you're risking maybe yes, maybe no. How do I know? But if something the Prophet ﷺ did, then 100% it is a sunnah. Sah. It is accepted. That's why we go learning what are the sunan of the Prophet ﷺ. And we stay away from something the Prophet ﷺ and the companions did not do. In a debate that took place at the time of Al-Ma'mun, one of the ulama, I don't remember his name, subhanAllah, but one of the ulama, he debated Al-Ma'mun, يعني المعتزلات. When he starts saying that the Quran is not the word of Allah, it's created, he asked him this question. He said, what you are saying now, pay attention to this. This is how our great ulama is to think. What you are saying now and doing now, did Allah mention it in the Quran? Give me one verse. He said, no. Did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mention it? He said, no. He said, tayyib. Did he know about it? He said, of course, if he said yes, that means the Prophet sallallahu never delivered the message. And he says, no, then you are saying something that neither Allah or Muhammad said. You see how he quoting? He said to him, tayyib, did Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhum ajma'een, and the 10 who've been given a glad tiding with paradise, and the one who gave the Ahl Badr, and the one who gave the pledge under the tree, and the Muhajirin wal Ansar, did they know about it? Did they say it? If he says yes, then there's no dalil. What is it? And if he says no, he said, are you smarter and better than them? And the God of worshipping Allah? So you ask these who always keep inventing in Islam. The ones who invent into Islam. Sa'a mawlid, sa'a this, sa'a that, sa'a subhanallah. Ask him this question. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said you can do this in the Quran specifically? No. Did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered, recommended, did this? No. Did Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhum do this? No. Did the one who been given glad tidings in paradise, the 10, do this? No. Did Ashab Badr do this? No. Did the ones who gave the pledge under the tree, did they do it? No. Did the Muhajirin and the Ansar do it? No. So you're smarter than them. You're better than them. Someone says to you, hang on a minute, ya Habibi, wallahi, you're a radical. Tawil balak mai. But there are in the Sharia some principle that you can do these things. You say, ya akhi, why? I don't want to go technical, because if you want me to go technical, you get bored. I've got lectures already on the net, technical explanation of bid'ah. I'm not going to go there. I want to give you just the simplicity to understand how dangerous are these matters, but in a simple way so we can understand it. This is the issue here. The matter, somebody says, ya akhi, but you can do all these things because they're good. Yani, give an example. The Mawlid is coming up soon. Say, akhi, the Mawlid is soon. Tell me, what do we do wrong in the Mawlid? We show our love to the Prophet ﷺ. Sah? MashaAllah. We eat halwa and drink. That's the most important part. Knafin is not a sin. We praise the Prophet ﷺ. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we read a little bit about his story. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we call those juhal on the street to teach him about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what is wrong with this amal? You see how the shaitan justify? By the way, our scholars said, the innovation is more beloved to the shaitan than the sin.
كيف هذا؟ يعني he loves it more than zina. How is that? Allah, you're a radical. فهمني man. هفهمك man. And woman. طيب, listen. If you fall into major sin, you know inside your heart that you're doing wrong. صح. Say, wallahi, ya Allah, one day, help me repent. Help me repent, ya Allah. I know this is wrong, ya Allah. And one day, your father, your cousin, your brother, your daughter, your mother, someone, car hit them or something happens to them, and you say, khalas, tawbah. Never again. صح. But the bid'ah, what happens? When you do it, you say, alhamdulillah, I am getting closer to Allah. Allah is happy now. And you keep doing it, and you keep doing it, and you keep doing it, believing that Allah is pleased with you. But the reality, what? كل بدعة ضلالة. Every invented matter, every innovation is misguidance. What it means, misguidance? Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, it means it's going, no reward. There's no reward for it. On the day of judgment, you come with a lot of work, but there's no reward for it. So you're wasting your time. طيب. Let's go back to the issue. We say, ya akhi, what are you doing now in this mawlid? No, but the problem is, it's not mawlid Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. عندك البدوي والرفاعي والصابوني وال... من كمان؟ والتيجاني والمولاني والبولاني حتى الأمة كلياتها. The Ummah is busy with the موالد and حبيبي Russia and America and Israel. I top everything and I top your Ummah and انت still Allah حي. Oh, يلا بتلف وبتدور صح وبتضرب بالدف وبتنطنط jumping up and down and twist around. And your oil, and your land is being taken and your oil is being drunk and everything is finished. Ah, تطلع ربي كما خلقتني. Oh Allah, as you created me with nothing, zilch. True or not? I want to be busy. Napoleon Bonaparte, he said, you know Napoleon Bonaparte, the French commander? He actually, شوف how much lower self-esteem we have. Some say, even Napoleon Bonaparte loved the Mawlid. Napoleon Bonaparte, يعني loves the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Napoleon Bonaparte, he's the enemy of Allah, enemy of his Prophet, enemy of the Ummah. He liked it because he can get the Ummah busy with this instead of jihad to remove him from Egypt. That's why he's happy with it, because you get intoxicated by twirling around. صح. And they're like, I have reached the highest levels. Who are his art? His head is spinning. He's dizzy. But is this Ummat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Let's be honest. Somebody doing backflips, he said, this is sunnah. This is a good sunnah. Look at Akhikir. It's disrespect to Islam. Islam is a deen of brains, intellect. Rise up. It came to a level, I'm telling you, when we grew up in the 80s, subhanAllah, seems so far now. When we grew up in the 80s, when we start to release the bead and grow it, our parents used to say, "Bukra tkhashkhish, you're going to get crazy." Because they had an impression that for you to become religious, you're a nutcase. صح. They used to say, "Bukra taqad bil oda ta'mal hayya." You're going to sit in your room and you start twirling and you go crazy. You stop talking to people. That's why, because there is the impression of someone who's religious. That is the impression of someone who's religious to them. That's it. Mafi. To them, the intellect was outside. Because akhi, the bid'ah, the innovations, there is no door to it. Once it opens, you bring it in and you bring it in and you bring it in until you have all this cocktail that you don't know where it came from. And most of the stuff, this
Sufism and all this bringing to Islam, you find it, it has no logic to it whatsoever. I had a brother who's a revert. He's now a dedicated student, he comes here all the time. He's a revert. He said to me, I accepted Islam without Sufism. I went to a place in Auburn. I got scared. Why? He said, men and women sitting together, they turn off the light and they start, and voices come up, rise up. And I said, I got petrified. I said, this can't be right. How can it be Islam? And he kept on researching Allah until Allah guided him to the right path. So, akhi, you have to understand, this is defies intellect, goes against intellect. But let me take you back to the point. I strayed a little bit, but we go back to the point. What is the matter here? Somebody says, I do all this mawlid, and there's so much benefit in it. So we say to him, very simply, what are you trying to do with this? He said, I'm bringing people. Yeah, but what are you trying to do? You're trying to get closer to Allah? Yes. You're trying to show love to the Messenger and to Allah and to the Deen of Islam? Yes. So this is qualifies as ibadah. Worship. You appointed a day, you appointed a time, and you're doing it to drive the people to come and to love the Prophet and show the love towards the Prophet. This ibadah. Because many of our ulama said ibadah, a worship, everything that Allah love and He is pleased with. مَا يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَيَرْضَهُ. What Allah loves and pleased with. I ask you this question, simple. Who's amongst you here married? Scared, eh? Tintin, you got two? You want me to mention your name on the microphone? You only got five, though. So, how would you know what your wife loves? You're married, or you don't know? You don't know. She tells you or not, she informs you or not, that if you bring fish home, I'll kill you. I'm allergic to fish. Sah? I hate the smell of fish. True? So you know what she dislikes. I like the chocolate eclair. What's that? Some cake with some stuffing in it. A special cake. How would you know? She has to inform you. How would we know that Allah loves something? We guesswork? If it is left guesswork, then we become like the Christians and the Jews. So they changed their ibadat. Because they started to do things they believe, they assume that Allah loves. It's not guesswork. You can't guess. Sah or no? He, capital H, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty Allah, has to tell you what He loves and what He is pleased with. So you can perform and do what He loves and what He is pleased with. Because it can't be left to your intellect. Because your intellect can get it wrong. And that's why the previous nations, what did they do? They worshipped the idols believing that they can get them closer to Allah. And this is what Allah loves. And this is what Allah likes. And this is what Allah wants. True or not? Allah said no. How would you know that praying at night is more beloved to Allah than praying during the day? How would we know that we need to circumambulate around the Kaaba 7 times? True or not? How would we know that Allah loves these things? He has to tell us, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why He defined the types of worship that He wants us to do. True or not? That's why Allah, what does He love from you to do when you're doing sujood? To say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Sah? Tayyib. And Allah loves from you to read the Quran and Ayat al-Kursi. Can you read Ayat al-Kursi in sujood? Your salat becomes what? invalid. Isn't it the best thing? What is the most beloved ayah, the best ayah in the Quran? And all of the Quran is good. Ayat al-Kursi. Instead of saying Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, I want to read Ayat al-Kursi. What's wrong with that? No, your salat become invalid. Ya ammi Ayat al-Kursi. Your salat become. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Your salat become invalid. So it's not to you. It's Allah says what you need to do so He can love you. And this is what He loves. I want to ask you a question. You say to your son, be home 9 o'clock at night. Can I be 10 past 9? 9! Ya ammi, 20, 9. Why would you just say 9? Why? This is what the son asked. Why not 8:30? Why not 10? Why 9? Heck. Of course, there's no such a thing as heck. What you're doing is you're teaching him to be organized. And 9 o'clock, a little bit after sunset, is acceptable. Sure or not? 10 o'clock, it's too dark. Sah? So when you put these rules and guidelines, it's maybe not logical for the kid, but it is logical for you. And because you run the house, you have the right to put these guidelines. Sah or no, ya ikhwan? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us exactly what the ibadah He wants us to do. Rabbul Alameen. He is the creator, the owner, the controller, the sustainer of this universe, of everything He created. So He has the right to tell us exactly what He wants. Whether it makes sense to you or not, it's up to you. But you still have to do it. True? Tayyib. Now He's telling you what He loves. Inta is saying, la la la, ya Allah. Hang on. It's not, I want to do this and this and this. I want to sit down and twirl and do mawlid and do this and do that. And you love these things. How? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the borderlines. How He loves it. How do you know? Do you have a book from Allah? Do you have something to tell you? No. As if you are saying indirectly that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not worship Allah in the best form and the best way. You know what? I'm going to do more. Now this mentality that the Mubtadi' has in his head, it happened at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When a group of people came, they looked at, they asked about the ibadah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of them said, hang on, ya shabab, listen. It's the mentality. Listen. This Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tayyib. Alayhi salatu wa salam. Allah forgiven all his sins. Nahna, ibad, slaves to Allah, weak. And we're not like Rasulullah, so we have to try harder. We have to do more. They looked at, they said, one of them, listen, women take up your time and they keep you away from ibadah, I'm never going to get married. Khalas, forget about marriage. The second one said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he fasted and fasted, I'm going to keep fasting every day. The third one said, wallah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sometimes he sleeps, sometimes la. I'm going to all night pray all the time, every day, all night, every day, all night, every day, all night. Takbir! So, was what, this is what he came up with. They came up with. Here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard. Alayhi salatu wa sallam bi abi huwa wa ummi. He stood up on the minbar, he said, after he heard what they said. He said, indeed, I am. He said, I am the one who's teaching you how to worship Allah. And I am the best among you in worshiping Allah. Indeed, I do sleep and stand up for Qiyam at night. Indeed, I do get married to women. Indeed, I do fast and unfast. And رغب عن سنتي فليس مني. Whomsoever turns away from my way is not from amongst. So here the Prophet ﷺ came and sealed it for the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So you can't think you can do better than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You can't think you're always going to do better than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Also, when you add, as if you are saying by your actions, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never completed the deen, and I have to add. You see the danger of innovation in Islam. You see how it is very important for us to restrict to the Kitabullah. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in authentic hadith, in Muslim and other, تَرَكْتُ فِيكُمْ, I have left in you, مَا إِن تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِ, if you were to hold on to it. تَرَكْتُ فِيكُمْ مَا إِن تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِ, if you were hold on to it, you will be on the path of success. كِتَابُ اللَّهِ وَسُنَّةِ, the book of Allah and my sunnah, my way. Another hadith, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, when he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the fitan and all of these things, what was his answer to Hudhayfa? Alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnat al-khulafa' al-rashidin al-mahdiyin. Hold on to my sunnah and to the sunnah of the rightly guided caliphs. So these, holding on to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, adhering strictly to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in it there is the success. تَرَكْتُ فِيكُمْ مَا إِن تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِ لَا تَضُلُّوا بَعْدِي أَبَدًا, I have left in you, what you, if you hold on to it, you will never become misguided. Kitabullah wa sunnati, the book of Allah and my sunnah. So why do we need to add more things to Islam? As if you are not satisfied what the Sharia has to offer. Ba'dan ya akhi, what you need to understand, that every time you invent something, a sunnah is removed. Let me explain to you. Every one of us, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها, Allah does not burden a soul what it cannot bear. So that ayah tells us something very important, that every single one of us has limited energy. You have limited energy. You can't do more. True or not? That limited energy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a'mal, actions you do during the day and the night, enough to suffice that energy. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never asked you to fast all day, every day. Because you can't do it. You'll collapse. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never told you to, for example, to do Hajj every year. Because you won't be able to do it. And if the salat was obligated, 50 salat every day, as originally supposed to be obligated, if it wasn't for Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, what would happen then? You have to pray. Imagine you have to pray 50 times a day. Enter 5 times a day and you're struggling. Without sunnah, without anything. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Rahman, 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 Rahman. Sah? Yalla, khab, slabbat. Yalla, mahum, sallayna. Man, a burden gone on my back. Dhahar, pray 4:30, and Asr, quarter to 8, and Maghrib, quarter to 9, or 5 to 9, and Isha, 2 a.m., and Fajr, 10 a.m. Alhamdulillah, good. You want no more? Do you want brother? So, imagine 50 salat, you won't be able. So since you have limited energy, Allah gave you enough ibadat to fulfill. And the Prophet ﷺ recommended so much sunan, as much as you can do from it. And that's why you can never do every single sunnah the Prophet ﷺ did. No man can do every sunnah the Prophet ﷺ did. This is cannot be done. But you do as much as you can from the sunnah. مَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ وَمَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. Whatever I ordered you to do, do as much as you can. That means what? You can't do everything. And whatever I've forbidden you, stay completely away from it. What does it mean? Meaning, you do your obligation and whatever you can from the sunnah. Not whatever you can and you neglect. No, but the 12 rak'at and the witr and siyam, Monday, Thursday, whatever you can. According to your ability. But now the energy you have, if you take a proportion out of it and you do bid'ah with it, innovation, what happens? You have no more energy for the sunnah. You see how now the sunnah is not practiced because you don't have energy for it. You don't have time for it. True or not? Sah? Yani someone who sits and do adhkar, not يعني the legal adhkar, not the dhikr twirling. Ya Allah, Allah, Allah. Sah. You'll find him, if he does it every night, it tires him during the day. And he maybe doesn't have energy for fasting. True or not? Some of the innovations are done. It turns you away from the sunnah. Watch the sunnah of growing the beard. Go watch the majority who do the mawalid. Majority with no beard. And after he finished the mawlid, Walla makruh, brother. Min illi alak haram. Makruh, the alak haram might be Wahhabi or something, eh? Makruh, brother. Makruh, my Al-Muhim. This is the matter here, akhi. You don't have then the energy to feel in your day the sunan. And that's why our Salaf predecessors said, every time somebody invents an innovation, a sunnah dies. That's why the Prophet ﷺ described al-Ta'if al-Mansura, the successful sect, what? يُحْيُونَ سُنَّتِي. They're the one who revive my sunnah. Meaning the sunnah came and died, and then it is revived. Why? Because they don't do innovation, they have energy, they research for the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to implement it. So, ikhwani fillah, let's go a little bit technical in the matter. Since we established something very important, that the ibadah is what Allah loves and pleased with, so the ibadah has to be mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah. You know what is ibadah? Worship. And when you do the mawlid or any other ibadah or any other bid'ah, you are doing it tudahi sharia. You're trying to emulate the sharia with it and include it part of the sharia. And you intend with it to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sah? So you really invented what? A new worship. And the basic principle is worship is restricted to what? Tawqifiyya. Al-ibadat tawqifiyya. Worship is restricted to what? Kitab wa sunnah. To the book and to the sunnah. True or not? So when you invent something, you are adding ibadat into the deen. And that is the danger of it. That is what? The danger of al-bid'ah and the innovations in the deen. So, that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, Ala, he said, indeed, فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. Indeed, every newly innovated matter is what? Is misguiding. La is an innovation. And every innovation is misguidance. Another hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. Aisha radiallahu anha said, whomsoever من أحدث في أمرنا هذا ما ليس منه فهو رد. Whomsoever invents in this matter of ours, meaning Islam, something that is not part of it, it is rejected. This usul, a hadith, this usul, we understand from it that there is no such a thing an innovation. Now somebody would say, this is the quickest hadith they bring up. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man sanna fil Islam sunnatan hasanatan falahu ajruha wa ajru man amila biha ila yawm al-qiyamati la yanqusu min ujurihim shay'a, wa man sanna fil Islam sunnatan sayyatan," and so on. The hadith, whomever invents a new way, he has the reward for it, and everyone who follow him, and so, and whomsoever invents an evil. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, ni'matul bid'ah. What a blessed bid'ah. They're mainly the two adilla they use to justify the innovation. They're the main ones. I don't want to go details too much so you don't get confused. We ask, is the ibadat tawqifiyah? Is the worship, this is how simply you can rebuke that. Is the ibadat restricted to the Quran and Sunnah? Yes or no? If he says no, then we have a big problem with this person. I mean, he opened door of worship and you can invent anything you like. Khalas, pray the whole 5 rak'at. Sah? Are we all open? Khalas, we open it. Then khabbas. Sah? It is restricted to the Quran and Sunnah. Ya akhi, you can't bring any ibadah. He said, no. This not ibadah. This is a new way, Sunnah. Sunnah Hasan. Type, we said, this Sunnah Hasan, what do you intend from it? Getting closer to Allah. We go back to the same issue. It's a ibadah. Sah? Because the ibadah you do, to do what? Even the kuffar of Quraysh said, ما نعبدهم إلا ليقربونا إلى الله زلفا. We worship them so they can bring us closer to Allah. So they understood that worship brings you closer to Allah. So when you invent something, to do what? To bring you closer to Allah. And you made it a ibadah. Let's put that aside. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said this hadith for a reason. What is the reason? If we differ, that's why there is in ilm, ulum al-Quran, and even in usul al-fiqh and in the fiqh, asbab al-nuzul, reasons for revelation. You want to know why the ayah was revealed, what it means? There have to be reasons behind it. And the reasons behind it is what gives you the meaning. And same thing, the hadith, there are reasons for al-wurud, why the Prophet ﷺ said it. Here, we find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when a group came to him, they were very poor, looked in a very rugged way, he wanted sadaqah. He called a few times, no one answered the call of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then, somebody came with a big bundle of silver and he put it in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the companions started to compete until big mountain of sadaqah given to these people. The Prophet ﷺ came out smiling and said, "Man sanna fil Islam sunnatan hasana, falahu ajruha." So whomever starts a new way in Islam, meaning what he done is similar to what you do auction today for sadaqah. Who gives more? Sah? It's not a ibadah. This is a mean to benefit and to reap the reward. But it's not a ibadah in itself. Because this is sadaqah. Did they invent sadaqah? No, sadaqah is part of the deen. One of them brang a bundle and everyone started to add. Everyone got excited. Like now, I tell you, tomorrow morning I'm going to come Fajr here. And I want to see which one comes first. And we want to compete who comes first to Fajr tomorrow. 3:30 a.m. you start turning up. Alhamdulillah, Sunnah Hasana. Competition amongst the brothers who come first to Salat al-Fajr. True or not? You haven't invented a new ibadah. Now, Ni'matul Bid'ah, Umar radiallahu anhu. Also we see why he said this. We say, he gathered the companions behind Ubay radiallahu anhu to pray the Taraweeh in Ramadan. Whilst the Prophet ﷺ prayed it for 3 days and he stopped praying it, he prayed it at home, and all the companions radiallahu anhum prayed individually Salat al-Taraweeh. Then Umar radiallahu anhu saw that this is causing a distraction. He gathered them, all of them, behind Ubay, which is redoing the sunnah that the Prophet ﷺ did. And he lit up the masjid, he fixed it, he put pebbles and everything, and he said, what a beautiful innovation is this. Because the word bid'ah can mean linguistically and in the sharia. Like salat, the word salat linguistically means what? Supplication. In the sharia means to pray the normal salat 5 times a day. True or not? Sah? Wait. This is ni'matul bid'ah. What a blessed bid'ah. Here, bid'ah can be used in a linguistical manner. Like the microphone is an innovation, the camera is an innovation, the car is an innovation. But when the Prophet ﷺ said, kullu muhdathatin bid'ah, every newly invented matter, is he really talking about cars and cameras and microphones? Or he's talking about in the deen? That's why the hadith Aisha explains the previous hadith radiallahu anha, when she said that the Prophet ﷺ said, whomsoever invents in this matter of ours, Islam. So it's talking about inventing in Islam, not inventing outside Islam. That's why the brother, when you say to him this hadith, kullu muhdathatin bid'ah, he'll tell you, and be careful, don't drive a car because that's a bid'ah. Look, I'm not talking about the car. Who's talking about the car? Prophet ﷺ saying every innovation, meaning every single innovation which is linguistical innovation and shari'i innovation, or he's talking about his deen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where did you get this from? They say to you, Tayyib Khalas, Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, he is split bid'ah to do linguistical, bid'ah to do bid'ah hasana, a good bid'ah and an evil bid'ah. Go read the definition and what Imam Ibn Rajab commented and others. Al-Bid'ah al-Hasana, he said, like building bridges, like collecting books, like making books of grammar. That's Sultan al-Ulama al-Iz bin Abdul Salam said in Qawa'id al-Kubra. And then he said, the bid'ah which is haram, which is not allowed, like Salat al-Raghaib. Salat al-Raghaib, new invented types of salat they used to do. And they said, the ulama who split it to hasana, to good bid'ah and evil bid'ah, based on what Umar said, they said the evil bid'ah is anything invented inside the sharia. But Habibi, as we said in Khutbah al-Jum'ah, فَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ. You take part of the book and you reject part of it. You look what Imam al-Shafi'i, proportion of what he said, and you leave the rest of the proportion, the rest of it. Let's look inside what the ulama who commented on what he said. And that's why I see with this ayah, which is a warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he said, يَوْمَ تَبْيَضُّ وُجُوهٌ وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهٌ. On that day, faces will turn white and faces will turn black. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ سْوَدَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ. As for the ones who their face turned black, أَكَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ فَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَكْفُرُونَ. As for the ones whose faces turned black, you disbelieved after you are a believer. شوف الآية. You disbelieved after you were a believer, Ma'anata, someone came to the Iman and then he left Iman. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ بِيَضَّتْ وُجُوهُهُمْ فَفِي رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. As the ones whose faces turn white, they are رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ يعني إِبْنِ جَنَّةِ, the mercy of Allah, جَنَّةِ, they're in it for eternity. Ibn Abbas said something beautiful. He said, on that day, the people of Ahlul Sunnah, the true Ahlul Sunnah, the true Ahlul Sunnah, مش عملي حول Ahlul Sunnah, not the true Ahlul Sunnah. Ahlul Sunnah is not wearing t-shirts. Ahlul Sunnah is implementing the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In your aqidah, in your fiqh, and in your manners. In your manners, in your manners, in your manners, and in your manners. صح. But we don't want Salafiyya, just Allah above the arsh, and I don't celebrate Mawlid, but his akhlaq is zero. We want akhlaq of the Salaf. We want what? Akhlaq of the Salaf. You're not Salafi to me until you have the akhlaq of the Salaf. If you don't have the akhlaq of the Salaf, you can tatashaddaq, you can open your jaw as much as you want that you're a Salafi. To me, you remain a Talafi. Akhlaq al-Salaf. That's what we need. Manners. It's very important. كَرَّهْتُ الْعَالَمْ بِالسَّلَفِيَ بِأَخْلَاقُمْ. And some of the brothers, of course, not everyone. So, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, on that day, when Ahlul Sunnah, their faces turn white, and Ahlul Bid'ah, their faces turn black. You see? It's a very important, ikhwani, to adhere to the sunnah of the Prophet. And wallahi, I'll give you something simple, even though it's not academic, but I'll give you something simple. Think, are you safer to do what the Prophet did or what the Prophet never did? To get closer to Allah. To get closer to Allah. Are you safer to do what the Prophet ﷺ did or something that the Prophet ﷺ and his companions never did? Of course, you're always secured when you do what the Prophet ﷺ and his companions did and worshipped Allah through and by. SubhanAllah, bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.